Hey, I'm Butterfly.
Hey, I'm Firefly.
Have you ever wondered if we aren't being told the truth about everything?
What have we been lied to about? Join us as we have conversations and ask questions about everything. We invite you to keep an open mind and consider the unfathomable.
Let's break the chains that enslave our minds. Come on, let's go down the rabbit hole. Hey, Firefly, what's up?
What's up, Butterfly?
Well, are you ready to go down another rabbit hole?
I am always ready.
I had a feeling.
Which one are we doing?
I think it's pretty obvious we need to talk about JFK because everybody...
All of the transparency with the Trump administration.
I know.
But wait a second. I thought transparent meant everything is divulged.
Right. Like, supposedly, they are letting us finally see all these files from, what, 50 years ago?
Mm.
More than that, like 60 years ago.
What a good government we have.
I know.
We only
had to wait 60 years.
Exactly. Like, most of the people that were alive when it happened are pretty much
dead.
Moved on now.
Yeah. I mean, most of the people, like, we weren't even born yet when this stuff happened.
And if anybody who is implicated in these documents is probably also
dead,
unalived already.
Right. I think, you know what? That's a really good point because I bet you with a lot of these conspiracies, they purposely file this stuff away for 50 or 60 years so that the people that are could be implicated in it are no longer around.
Remind you of the cooties in a little bit? Because didn't something like that happen with the cooties?
They said we weren't going to be able to see any of the information for 75 years.
Yeah, and that was kind of a weird like amount of time.
Yeah.
It was like, is that just long enough for all of the guilty parties to kind of be unalived by then?
Yeah, pretty much.
I think that's kind of how it works.
Yeah.
And then when they say, okay, yes, this did happen, but that's ancient history now.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like what you hear like Ben Shapiro saying about the JFK stuff. It's like, why are we even looking into this? This happened 50 years ago.
Yeah, so we should just forget all about
it. Let's just move on.
Like, basically, don't learn from history.
That's right.
Let's just be doomed to repeat it.
And then, you know, like, keeping things classified for 75 years becomes really effective if you have that Kool-Aid beverage for everybody. Then you can just say, look, this is old news now, so let's just move on. But wait a second, you guys kept it hidden for all these years. Let's find out finally what happened.
Yeah.
And then, so Trump and Elon are like the heroes, right? They're like, we're releasing this. But wait a second. Everything's kind of redacted that pertains to that one country from 1948.
What? Why would you mean like they're okay? So they're just showing us documents that have a bunch of stuff blacked out. So what is that doing? They're blacking out.
So that's not releasing documents.
No, they're blacking out key information. Why would they black out certain parts of it? Because they don't want us to see it, right?
I think they don't want people kind of going, wait a minute, does Israel control our government?
So why would they black out Israel in these documents? Why?
That's what they don't want people to come to the conclusion of is like, wait a second, did they take out JFK? Well, so I think what you first have to do is you have to kind of go, what have we been told about JFK?
Okay, let's unpack that.
Like,
what were we told? We were told that Lee Harvey Oswald, this guy, was just operating on his own, right?
And he kind of had like an MK Ultra kind of past.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Even though MK Ultra was in his infancy, I think they'd already kind of like figured some mind control stuff out
because
he
sure.
was kind of like involved with the CIA and like. If you look into his past, it was weird how he had like connections with them
mm-hmm.
and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So he's in this book depository. And so the car goes by.
With JFK.
With JFK. And there was I can't remember the senator's name or whatever that was sitting in the passenger seat. And then Jackie O, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to imagine there's some wind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a moving car,
mm-hmm.
and he's pretty far away. Like, he's farther away than the dude that tried to shoot Trump in the fake assassination attempt the other day.
Right.
Like, okay, so he missed, but we're told that Lee Harvey Oswald had perfect shooting.
Perfect aim.
Awesome. Like, okay, so one of the bullets, like, went ricocheting all around and nailed the senator dude like three different times, which is really amazing.
Sounds
shot.
Like a machine gun.
Yeah. So like one bullet like hit him like four different times, like went in and out. And so I think you know what it is. It's kind of like in tennis when you put English on your backhand. That's what he kind of did. Like he shot that first bullet, but then. So it had like English and it like rattled around and like it was like a bank, like in pool. So it like banked off the dashboard and then came back and hit the senator Connolly. That was his name. So he got hit like four times by the first bullet, which is gnarly. So that means that this Lee Harvey Oswald dude is pretty gnarly. Plus, when he looked at him, he kind of looked retarded, which makes it all the more amazing that he had that just amazing bank shot for the first shot.
Right.
Okay. And then
it sounds like one of those what are those games at the old arcades that you pull back the
pinball. Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Exactly. Like it was totally like ricocheting around the like the floorboard
with one bullet.
So that's just one bullet. So he got off three shots, right? Mm-hmm. All three of them were just completely perfect. So the second one like went through his neck, but really looked like it went in through the front of his neck, but somehow it went through from the back. So that was the second shot. And then the third shot like blew off Kennedy's head. But this is the amazing thing. Again, I think it was kind of like when you put English on, like when you're playing ping pong and you put spin on it, because he must've put spin on the bullet. Because what happened was, he's in the book depository behind Kennedy, and Kennedy's head like flung backwards and his brains went out onto like the back part of the car.
That's so sick.
So like they show Jackie O, like, and you can say, no, that didn't happen. But no, they show Jackie O like climbing and like gathering brain, you know?
Ew.
And she's like, have you ever seen the Zapruder film?
Yeah.
I think it's Zapruder or something like that. And so she's gathering brain, but brain went backwards.
It went the opposite way of where.
So
the
he did English. Shot. I think he knew how to put English on his bullets.
Wow.
So it went in and then came back out
back
the back
out
way.
The other way.
And just blew out the back of his head. So that's what we're told. Okay. And I guess that's feasible. Hey, you know.
Well, that's interesting how, wow, like he could with three shots do all of that. And like you were saying, like the kid that shot Trump, like he couldn't even get hit. He missed. All he got was his ear. And just a tiny part of his ear.
In the dynamics of his shooting, which I think was like an episode of The Apprentice. I don't even think it took place.
Yeah.
But his shooting, he was still
stationary on top of a roof.
Closer.
With a
scope.
Yeah.
And then also Trump is stationary. He's not in a car.
Right. Well, I think maybe Lee, like you were saying, Lee Harvey Oswald probably just was like a really good shot. He was,
which is another amazing thing because his record. He was in the Marines.
Oh, so
and
maybe
so,
he was really good at shooting.
No,
oh,
like it came out like in the wash. Like, well, actually, he was like a piss poor shooter in the Marines. Oh. So he became incredibly awesome. Like maybe four, maybe five people in the world could have made those shots that he made. From the time that he did the shooting, from the time he was in the Marines. So he must have been practicing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was like Sirhan, and he was like, you know, they had him disassociatively like shooting at a firing range and practicing, you know. So anyways, so let's just suspend our disbelief that that's how that happened, mm-hmm. right? But then weird things happened too. Like what else did we get told about the JFK assassination?
Well, then that guy Jack Ruby shot
Lee Harvey Oswald, which is kind of weird.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Like, if you just unpack that, so first of all, Ruby was from that country from 1948.
Oh, that's coincidental.
Just kind of throw that in there. Yeah. I don't know why. But then he also was like a strip club owner.
So why would he go shoot that guy?
Nobody knows. We're just supposed to accept that he's just angry with him.
Was he like a good Samaritan? And he's like, oh, that guy just shot the president.
Yeah.
I'm going to take care of this.
He was probably a real ardent supporter of JFK. That's what we're supposed to understand.
And he saw that and happened to have a gun on hand.
He had a gun and he was like, I'm going to do something about this because as a strip club owner, I really care about our country. So, and then, okay, so another interesting thing is like he has access to just with a gun, walk right up to this guy who just shot the president and shoot him.
Well, like,
that's kind of weird.
Where were the Secret Service people?
I thought that's kind of what they did.
I know.
You know, like, okay, this guy, he seems like a pretty important person. He just you know, he did that English shot. So he shot Connolly and he shot JFK. Those are two prominent leaders of our country. But now he's like being perp walked, and it seems like there's only J Bob and Cooter are like walking him to the jailhouse. And here comes Jack Ruby, just walks right up to him. Like, have you ever seen the footage of that?
No.
You never saw that?
No.
They have real footage of this.
Oh, gosh.
So Ruby just walks literally up to him, like, 1 foot away and shoots him. Now, okay. So this is what we're told, right?
Yeah.
And then kind of weird stuff happens. Like, all of a sudden, Lyndon Johnson. He becomes president and then proceeds to do a bunch of stuff that was perfect for the cult.
Uh-huh. And right? It was completely opposite of what JFK was talking about doing.
Yeah.
He was super pro-war and a lot of other things that JFK was against.
Yep.
And, you know, this is what makes me think about J.D. Vance. Because I don't trust that guy.
I don't either.
And he, you know, if something happens to Trump, he's going to be our president. And that could be part of the plan.
Did you see?
He's very much involved in that other country too.
Yeah. I was going to say, did you see in the campaign for president when Trump and J.D. Vance were running, and J.D. Vance had a campaign stop in like New York City. And it was all people with the squiggly hair from that country from 1948, the whole auditorium. And there was like this rap group that was, it was like those people rap. And I didn't even know those people rap, but they apparently got rap. Yes. So, and then he comes out and he does like this little speech, like placating. That's clearly his base.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going, I'm going to take care of you, and we're going to make Israel great again.
Well, he's like all about Israel first. He's not about America first. He's about Israel first.
And I, which you know, is I'm bizarre. All about that. Like, I really care about that country more than what's going on right outside my front door.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, why are we going over there and like annexing Gaza? And we're spending a lot of money doing that and like probably American lives, you know,
and like all of the politicians have to swear allegiance to that country. It's really weird.
We have an APAC handler.
Yeah. They all. Did you know that?
Yeah. That was what Thomas Massey came out and pointed out.
Yeah. I think we talked about that on another episode.
Yeah.
They all have an APAC handler. So and they have
the handler to, tell you.
Tells you what to do.
Yeah.
Here, we're going to give you this amount of money, but these are the things you have to do.
And what do you think happens if you disobey your handler?
You get booted.
Well, I think even worse.
At the least.
Thomas Massey, his wife, like just like randomly died like 2 weeks after he came out on Tucker and said that everybody has an APAC handler.
Because he's the only one that doesn't have a handler. And then
yeah.
When he talked about it, like a couple weeks later, his wife was unalived.
His wife was unalived, which was kind of weird. And they were just like, well, she just got sick. And it was like, well, I saw a video of her like, building his house with them and then like on like a gnarly vacation. Like normally people who are just about to die from a gnarly disease aren't doing that kind of stuff.
Right.
So she got unalived a couple weeks later. And then now Trump has been kind of threatening to like
get rid of Massey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the pressure's on him. Cause what did Massey say? He was like, why are we, you know, cause Trump came out and said, well, there's a moratorium on foreign aid, except for that one country.
Yeah, that country's excluded from and that
it's like, it kind of gets back to JFK, like, we're going to be transparent. We're releasing the documents, except for anything that mentions that one country.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they're always kind of the exception.
Right. We're always defending them, and the whole excuse is they're our greatest ally. But why is that? What have they done for us?
Have controlled our government?
Yeah.
I think that's all.
What was Kennedy talking about before he was unalived?
Well, he didn't want to escalate the war in Vietnam, I don't
think. No.
You know? And I think he was talking about, like, a gold-backed dollar.
Yeah, he did not want the Federal Reserve. He didn't want to have
And I think that country gets really mad when we talk about like that stuff like that.
Well, because they're controlling that money.
Yeah. Which is kind of weird. Why?
It's kind of weird.
Why is there, we might have to do a rabbit hole for the Federal Reserve. Why is there a private entity managing our money production in this country?
It's really weird. I think it all goes back to the Rockefellers.
Yeah.
Which, aren't they from that country also?
Are they?
I think so.
See, I didn't know that. I know that he commandeered our medical system.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you go to medical school, all you're really doing is drinking a bunch of Rockefeller Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when people go to the doctor, they go, "Did you get this, Daddy?"
And if you say no, they tell you that you were misinformed.
You've been misinformed.
It's, you know what? I think everybody who hears that should be like, no, you were misinformed.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, if you don't know what I know, if I can know all this stuff and I'm not even a doctor, how come you don't know it?
It's kind of like the old kindergarten line works really good. That I know you are. So what am I? I think that's all I got to say.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I know you're wrong, but what am I? But so I think it's weird because it kind of pertains to the JFK thing, because JFK was kind of saying stuff that that country didn't really like.
Right.
And then, wait, why are they able to take out our president? Does that mean that they kind of maybe right around that time hijacked control of our government? Because I've kind of got this kind of, I'm a bad person.
I know.
And I'm a conspiracy theorist. But what if our country got hijacked when Kennedy got killed?
I think that's a possibility.
By that country.
I think Lyndon Johnson was all part of orchestrating that. And they knew that Kennedy did not go along with some of these plans. And so they had to get rid of him. And Lyndon Johnson stepped right in and
escalated the war in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And it was real convenient that JFK just kind of got unalived by some random psycho with a crazy shooting technique. You know, it was really convenient for them.
It was really convenient.
Because then they said, oh, well, he was talking about gold-backed dollars. We don't want that. They like this fractious lending thing where they just can go, oh, by the way, I lent you $100, so I can create out of fugazi nothing 9 more of these $100 just because I lent you $100. And by the way, I'm going to charge you insane amounts of interest on that and these 9 other hundreds that I'm going to build. And like, that doesn't make economic sense, but that's how we do things, mm-hmm. which is kind of weird. And then
it creates a slave system.
Yeah.
We're all slaves to the system.
And I think that's kind of what our podcast is like, mm-hmm. You know, unslave your mind. Right. Because I think that country, don't they kind of control our media?
Yeah.
You know?
And the medical system.
Yeah.
Big Pharma.
Big Pharma. That's kind of weird.
Music.
Like Hollywood. Albert Bourla. I think he's one of them. And he's kind of like Larry Fink, just kind of ugly and gross and kind of evil.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like tripping out because it's like, okay, I was thinking this might have been a new phenomenon, but now it's kind of coming out that they kind of like
killed Kennedy. Yeah. It's coming out that that was happening a long time ago. And
LBJ was their boy.
He was their boy, and they're trying really hard to keep it secret. For them to to cover all of that up in black, I mean, what could be the reason? What could be a good reason for that?
I think what it is
it would be too painful for us to know.
Well, I mean, this is what I think. Look at how stupid, like, we were just talking about what they told us what happened when JFK got killed.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like laughing really hard. I kind of had to catch my breath.
I know.
It was.
You almost had a.
I almost started choking a little bit because I was
a butterfly hysteria moment. Like I mean,
because the magic bullet and all of the ridiculous things, and then you know Lyndon coming in and he's their boy. It's all so ridiculous. But look at how many people just go, "Oh yeah, Walter Cronkite said this way."
Well, people believed it for 60 years.
Yeah, and they don't really want to even like think about the fact that it could have been a lie. You try to suggest it.
And you're talking about Ben Shapiro just trying to get, I mean, he's got tons of followers and he's trying to like just get everybody on this idea of like, oh, don't listen to this. This is stupid. We don't need to learn about this old stuff. I mean, do you think he could be, do you think he might have a handler? And
Well, I think
they're
Bentonville is
telling
like
him
part
to,
of that country.
yeah, and he, they're telling him to like make people not be interested in this.
Kind of like what Q was saying, like, don't worry about it. The White Hats are in charge. It's kind of like, hey, look, Trump and Elon are here now. You don't have
We
to
don't need
worry.
to think about this or look into this.
That's fine.
This is old news.
But Trump and Elon are the ones who redacted the mention of that country everywhere in the JFK documents. That's kind of weird.
That's
That
weird.
almost makes me think like maybe they're not good. Maybe they're kind of like part of the same cult.
Well, you know what? When I hear something has been redacted, that just makes me want to like look into it even more. You know what I mean? If they're
And
trying
I'm
to
wondering,
hide that one part, I want to know what that one part is.
and I was listening to Stu Peters, which we can talk about some other time, but I was listening to Stu Peters talking about this, and he was making an interesting observation. He was saying they didn't really want people to like come to the conclusion that you and I just came to. They don't want people to be like, hey, Israel is associated with JFK's death. If you come to that conclusion, you're a baddie. You know?
They don't want a lot of people to come to that conclusion.
Because what does that mean? I mean, if you come to that conclusion, then you kind of start going, oh, well, wait a second. And then you start looking at like how influential they are today, and you go, wait, did they kind of like do like a Bolshevik Russian Revolution that took place in 1915 in Russia? Did they kind of do that here in 1963? And we've been living under this Bolshevik system since then. And maybe we are already a communist country because you know how we kind of wait for things to be officially ushered in
Announced.
and announced, but where the rubber meets the road, we're kind of a communist country. And have we really had a real president since then? And have you noticed that since then, like my dad grew up in a completely different world than what I grew up in. And it seems to me from listening to my parents, who were baby boomers, that the quality of life has precipitously declined ever since Kennedy got killed.
That's a
Have you
good point.
noticed that?
Well, we were talking about this one other time, how, you know, back in the 50s, people could have a really nice house. They could have one income, have a nice house, a nice car, a couple of kids, you know, and now it's become almost impossible for people to do that. You
Did
have to.
you notice that, like, maybe there was kind of like a social contract back then? Like, America was America, and you were an American, and
You were proud.
it was like maybe there, like, people were rooting for you to succeed. Now it seems like they're kind of root for you to fail in a way, you know? And I'm wondering, like, okay, why did that happen? What is it about this country that they have been able to infiltrate our country so much? And could it have gone all the way back to then? So we're living in this system, and maybe that's what people need to wake up to, you know? They need to kind of go, oh my gosh, there was a coup. I think that's what the JFK assassination
I
was.
think it was too.
It was a coup.
It was.
They took over. We haven't had a real president since
No.
then. And Trump is not a real president.
And our money situation hasn't been good either because we're all slaves paying, you know, all this income tax. Which that was supposed to be a temporary situation, you know, the income tax, that was supposed to be temporary. And it turned into like a permanent full-time thing, just like every other mandate that they put into place. These rules and these mandates, like, you know, we're still taking our shoes off at the airport and stuff, you know, these things.
And weirdly, why do we take our shoes off at the airport? Because of this event called 9/11, right? And
Which is another rabbit hole.
was that country involved in 9/11?
Actually, I think it was.
I And then I'm like starting to see like a common denominator here.
Kind of scary.
It's weird. And I don't know. I mean, did you ever notice how Lyndon Johnson kind of did a lot of stuff good for the cult. One of the things he did was he signed legislation that pretty much gave us open borders.
Right.
And
he kind of started DEI.
He kind of started right? DEI too. And DEI sucked really bad.
Yeah.
Because DEI pretty much said, no, it's not based on your merits. It's based on your identity. And that's who gets promoted. And I mean, that sucks. That's caused everything to kind of like we were talking in a previous episode. Everything sucks.
Yeah.
I think DEI is largely,
right.
Responsible for everything sucking.
I mean, they might not have called it that back then, but this is basically what it was.
So it's interesting that this releasing of the files is such, I feel like it's a nothing burger.
I feel like it too. Like they're just throwing us a bone to, kind of make the conspiracy theorists feel like they got some information,
Kind of like Bindergate.
Yeah.
Remember Bindergate? Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, we're going to finally learn who Jeffrey Epstein's clients were. But now even that's kind of dated.
But the whole list is like redacted.
It's all redacted.
There's like black lines all over.
Exactly.
It was this person. It's all black. Just black lines.
Why can't we know?
I don't know. It would be too demoralizing, I guess. Too upsetting.
At this point, I think demoralization is a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
We're demoralized.
We're all going to know that, like Tom Hanks and
like Eminem was like going to the Zion.
Yeah.
I was like, well, whatever. I don't know. I mean, I don't know who, but we should know.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. So that, and wasn't Jeffrey Epstein involved with the country too?
Well,
why are these
he was from there.
That's weird. They were involved with the cooties.
Mm-hmm.
They were involved with the cootie stabbies.
Mm-hmm.
Because who came out with stabbies? It was like Borla, and he runs Pfizer. And then there was like people from that country also ran Moderna. And Moderna was kind of an evil company.
They're all evil.
So they were involved with that. They own the Federal Reserve. So they control our money. How much of those people from that country, how much of a proportion of the population do they comprise?
Here.
I think it's like 2%.
It's not much.
Like we kind of outnumber them, right?
Yeah.
People who are not them kind of outnumber them.
Right.
But they kind of like have an inordinate amount of control.
That's really weird.
Was Harvey Weinstein one of them?
I think so.
They're probably not too proud of him.
Yeah.
But so, I don't know. I think the JFK files kind of are more of the same. It's more redactions and more kind of suggesting this country kind of took over. Like, I think we've been colonized. I think that's the way you look at it.
Totally.
We've been colonized.
Yeah.
This other country, like, maybe Bibi Netanyahu is, like, really who's in charge over us right now. Well, him and Larry Fink.
He is, because Trump is answering to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
and then when Trump and Elon come out with all of these accomplishments, I think that's placating the base. Mm-hmm. I think that's them kind of going like the Q thing.
You got to give them something so they stay happy.
Yeah. And if you talk to one of these people in the Trump Elon cult, they're like, will you just shut up? Look at all the good things he's doing. They're doing away with DEI. And look at they're going through Social Security and they're finding all the waste and abuse. And it's like, but wait a second. We haven't really dealt with the 800-pound gorilla in the room, really.
No.
And that 800-pound gorilla is Jewish.
And, when they say, they're doing away with DEI, all they're really doing is rebranding. They're just going to still have DEI, but they're going to call it something else.
It's, you know I've always felt like,
it'll be like DIE or something.
Weren't you telling me that one time you asked a bank if they did DEI?
Yeah. Do you do DEI here?
I use the analogy. It's like kind of asking somebody, do you masturbate? Because it's like, well, you don't really want to just come out and say, yeah, Because it's kind of like you should be maybe a little ashamed of that. So like a bank saying that they do DEI, what they're kind of saying is, well, yeah, we do unfair hiring practices that are not based on our customer's best interest, but based on identity politics. That's kind of what they're saying,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that kind of sucks.
It's funny how a lot of the companies will just come right out and admit it, though. Oh, yes, we do DEI.
Because,
you know, they have no shame.
I think BlackRock is pretty much saying DEI or you're going to get railroaded out of business.
Right.
Because they're kind of controlling everything now. And I think Larry Fink might be part of that country, too.
He is.
I can't help but just see like a common denominator.
I think you're connecting too many dots here.
Well, I'm a bad person.
Yeah.
I'm a bad person, and I'm a conspiracy theorist. I'm sure we just need to get back to, you know, JFK got killed by some random dude.
An expert sharpshooter.
An expert sharpshooter that was kind of insane. Mm-hmm. And then he got killed by another expert.
A good Samaritan.
A good Samaritan who really cared about the president and ran a strip club. Mm-hmm. That happens. There's good patriotic strip club owners out there who are from that country. But, you know, I think at this point, you kind of have to really take a couple of big gulps of Kool-Aid to kind of swallow what they're saying. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
I don't know. What? I think, like, back a long time ago, like in the 50s, it was easier to fool people, you know, because the TV could come on, you know, first of all, they probably all sat around as a family and watched like the evening news at a certain time.
Yeah.
They couldn't just watch it all day long or whenever they wanted, like we can now. So they would sit down and they'd watch Walter Cronkite, and he was a trusted, or absolutely, somebody like it. He was the trusted face of information, you know,
and Walter Cronkite for sure. I think I remember my mom and my dad telling me, oh yeah,
if it's from Walter Cronkite,
it's the truth.
And, you know, so if he's telling them that JFK, and they all watched it, and it was like a national tragedy, you know, everybody loved JFK and they were really sad when that happened. And so if they tell him, hey, this guy, you know, shot him 3 times, and
people will believe pretty much anything.
I mean, it's kind of sad that people still believe whatever they're told, even though we have all sorts of modern technology now and we can rewind the tapes and watch the blood trickle down carefully on the side of Trump's face without getting, we can see all of that and replay it like 100 times, and people will still.
And the lesbian Secret Service lady just like fumbling around and like blocking him, like, but he's there going fight, 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 you know.
Do you think that was bad casting, or do you think that they cast her like in that part on purpose because of DEI?
Well,
probably DEI.
I think she was totally cast. That was all intentional, because what can they say now? Oh, look how inefficient the Secret Service was. Because I think that's kind of the main narrative, like what's coming out of the mainstream.
So they kind of casted her to be inefficient, and now they can run her under the bus and be like, oh, well, she. So basically,
so that's how the shooting took place, is because of her inefficiency. Otherwise, that guy would have never just climbed up a ladder with an AK-47 or whatever gun he had, just like in a big crowd of people, just like you're climbing up on the roof with a gun right across from where the president's going to be speaking. But can I get another Budweiser? You know what I'm saying?
So the next Secret Service woman that they get should be more like, in fact, I'm kind of surprised with Trump that his Secret Service ladies didn't look more like CSI actresses. You know how they're all really hot and they're like in really good shape and like have long, pretty hair.
You know what? It's hard to blame them. See, because I think what's going on now is the narrative is blame them. But no, it's like, no, blame like BlackRock and the ones putting on this movie that we're all supposed to watch and believe and act accordingly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm kind of feeling like that might be what. There's other things about the JFK assassination too that are kind of weird. Like some of the things that spawned from the JFK assassination that are kind of part of the rabbit hole, like the Beatles came in 64.
Hmm.
And I don't know. I kind of have a sense that the Beatles kind of were bringing like rock and roll and like kind of degenerate values.
Starting down the road of debauchery.
A little bit, mm-hmm. You know, and that was like right then. Mm-hmm. And then what else happened? Like, right around that time, there was the creation of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Mm.
You ever heard of them? And that was like Henry Kissinger. And they started going, we're going to move the superpower away from America to China.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah.
And that was kind of like the initiative. And now we're kind of moving more and more towards that. And I'm wondering if they needed to get rid of having a real American president and having, I'm sure if you were to look into it, AIPAC was probably controlling our Congress back then too.
Yeah. I think it was probably called something else, but they rebranded it.
Oh, and I think it was called AIPAC. And I think I heard that JFK specifically said that AIPAC needed to be designated as a foreign agent.
Oh, right.
Right?
Yeah, I read about that.
So again, it's really
he weird. Wanted, yeah, that is weird.
But I'm a bad person, and I, you know, I'm probably completely off base. But it seems like there's a common denominator with all of the really lame stuff that's happened to
there's
us.
A lot of coincidences.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
But here, have another helping of Kool-Aid. And here's like a whole plethora of blue pills. It's like the blue pills are like, it's like blue pills and Kool-Aid are the hors d'oeuvres at this party.
Right.
You know, you come over to the party. It's like, what are they serving at this party? Blue pills and Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid and blue pills.
Yeah.
Yay.
And everybody's just like totally drunk on the Kool-Aid.
They're totally on board with that.
Yeah. And I think you have to really be, because now – I think it's kind of backfiring, though. You know, we don't like to be Debbie Downer.
No.
We like to be the eternal optimist. What's kind of optimistic about what happened with the JFK release?
Well, I think, like, it all goes back to what we keep saying is people need to not believe what they're told and start believing what they're seeing and not going along with the Kool-Aid.
Like what Stu was saying is the talk around the campfire is everyone's kind of talking about that country and their involvement.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a good thing. You know, mm-hmm. I don't have any animosity towards anybody, but if you're going to be running this country, if you're going to be in our Congress or a president or a mayor, if you're going to be, you know, in the city council, you be loyal to your constituents, not to some other entity.
Exactly.
That makes me mad.
Yeah.
I get a little mad.
I get a little mad about that too. I mean, you should be pledging allegiance to one country only.
Yeah.
That's our country.
And I think that's not too much to ask, is it?
No.
Are we bad people for saying that?
No. We need to look out for our country and spend money on the people here who need it.
And do you think that maybe some people should maybe go to jail or maybe be kind of maybe punished a little bit?
I think so.
I'm thinking, yeah.
You know what? I wonder if in any of this redacted information that's in those files, do you think any of that could put any of these people in jail, or do you think they're all just dead by now?
I think most of the people who are involved have been unalived for a long time, and that's why they waited until now.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe the last living person who was actually involved just kind of kicked the bucket from climate change the other day.
Yeah. And so they were like, okay, we can release the stuff now.
It seems weird. Like it was like, finally, okay, now. You know?
Yeah.
Well, Trump, you had like 4 years. Wasn't he the president before?
Mm-hmm.
Trump was the president before, right?
Supposedly.
But he didn't release him, though.
No, he didn't do it that time.
And that's weird. You know? And then when he took over back in 2016, hadn't Jeffrey Epstein already been kind of arrested? We kind of knew all about that.
Why are we waiting so long to get this information?
Because and then we have Findergate, which is this weird kind of like it was kind of like the JFK release where it was a big nothing burger.
Right. And doesn't the president have the ability to release all this information? I mean, isn't that the whole point?
Absolutely.
So he could have done this in 2016.
And my understanding, I'm not a political analyst or anything, but my understanding is he can insist that it's completely unredacted.
That's interesting.
I mean, he can even say, I don't care if it's something that is sensitive to national security, you know, because, you know, they always say national security, but then it's kind of like,
that's their excuse. It's kind of like gravity.
And it's always like, okay, so national security suggests that daddy's protecting me.
Right.
But daddy's kind of against me.
Yeah.
So it's not my security. It's kind of like my peril. Mm-hmm. It's like national peril, it should be called. Because it's like, it's not my, I'm not secure. I'm kind of insecure. I feel like I'm a high school kid. Like, I'm kind of insecure. Like, I don't feel really comfortable like that you're hiding stuff from me. I think, did JFK say something like that to you in a speech? He was like, in a democracy, secrecy is repugnant. I think he said that in a speech. And he said, secret societies and secret oaths are repugnant to our democracy. And I think they got kind of mad.
I think he was onto them and they knew it. And so he had to go.
And they did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of interesting that people that just said, I don't like you, are able to just kill you and get away with it and nothing happens and
well,
nothing
you know
is
what?
Here.
Our government is really like a big mafia.
I think so.
I mean, they really are like, they're the mafia.
So then maybe we need to be Kevin Costner. What was that movie, The Untouchables? Who did he play? He played, what was the guy's name? He was the detective that brought down the mob. Remember?
I don't think I ever saw that.
It was good. And Kevin Costner and Sean Connery. And I can't remember the guy's name, but.
Wow, I have to watch that one. That sounds good.
He was brave. And he said, I'm going to stand up for what's right. And I'm not going to be intimidated. And I'm not going to be bullied. And that's what it took to kind of get rid of the mob. And I think maybe that's what we need now.
That's what we need. We need to be strong and brave and stand up to this tyranny and not go along with it. And that's kind of like our ongoing message, really.
I think, yeah. Look, I think you kind of have to be like, I'd rather die than be a slave. Mm-hmm. I think you kind of have to be like that because it's really that serious.
And you know what? Like I keep saying, there's safety in numbers. If more people would just understand this and get on board with this, it really wouldn't be that hard. It was like during the cooties fiasco, I kept saying, you know, if everybody or even just a lot more people just said, no, I'm not going along with that BS, the whole thing would have fallen apart.
You saw that you happen. Know? Remember right when cooties first started, they had that cop in Australia, like choking that 16-year-old girl for not wearing a mask.
Yeah.
He was like, put your mask on. It's like, well, so protect yourself or I'm going to strangle you to death. Kind of.
Yeah.
Which was kind of weird. That seemed kind of like oxymoronic.
Yeah,
I was like,
totally.
I'm going to choke you if you don't protect yourself. But then they had a big rally in the UK with David Icke, right?
Yeah.
And only a few people showed up and everyone got arrested. Then they had another rally and a few more people showed up and everyone got arrested. But then people started going, wait a minute. And then like 100,000 people showed up and all the cops could do is just sit there and just do nothing.
Yeah.
Because you can't arrest 100,000 people.
Right.
And that was just one little microcosm, you know? Like, did you see in Sri Lanka where they like overthrew their government?
Right.
And all the people was just like, they were like barefoot with like sticks, like running into the.
They can't do anything.
There's nothing.
That's why, you know, like I kept saying, you know, with the medical system, there were a lot of nurses and doctors who knew that the whole thing was BS, the cooties fiasco.
And they went along
with it. They went along with it anyway. And if all of the nurses and doctors who didn't believe it, who weren't totally brainwashed, you know, and all the cops and all the firemen, if all of those people who knew better didn't go along with it, the whole thing would have just fallen apart. But it's because that so many of them just kind of were like, oh, okay, I don't want to lose my job, whatever. And then more and more kind of started falling into line. That's what made it so difficult.
You know, you just made me kind of have an epiphany.
Oh, I love it.
So when they killed JFK, they kind of tested the waters and say, let's put out this ridiculous lie about what really happened.
And
look how many people
see if they believe
it. Yeah. And then they had 9/11. And then, well, Vietnam.
Yeah.
Vietnam, too. It's like, let's put out this ridiculous lie that we need to go attack communism on their shores because it's going to come to America if we don't. Like, I don't remember, like, feeling like Vietnamese people were like right on my doorstep and thank God daddy government was there to fend them off.
Right.
So that was another kind of lie that they foisted on us and people just kind of went, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then 9/11, there's a lot of, we can do a 9/11.
We're going to have to probably do a whole series on that.
Yeah, because when you look at the lies there, they're kind of ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Not kind of, they're totally ridiculous. As ridiculous as the JFK narrative, mm-hmm. you know? The main story is completely stupid. So then COVID. And it's the main story is completely stupid. But I think what happened in COVID is people are finally starting to go, wait a minute.
I think they might have gone a little too far this time with the cooties. I think maybe they went just a tad too far. It was a little bit too ridiculous, all the crazy rules with the masks and everything. And then also just the time in our world right now where there's so much access to, like, you know,
but the internet. Then that's what makes me think that, especially with Event 201 mm-hmm. and the table read, like you call it, mm-hmm. The cooties was an experiment. It was a test.
It was.
And what were they testing? What was the litmus test? It was, how gullible are people still?
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh, they're more gullible than we thought.
I know. I just really, it's disappointing because at the same time, there's a lot more people that aren't gullible,
I know.
You know, than probably in the 50s and stuff, but there's still the vast majority of the population is still really.
And now it's really interesting because some of the people who, like we talked about this before, they went, cooties, there's something weird going on there. But now Trump and Elon are good.
Mm-hmm.
And they, so
they're on the new blue pill.
Yeah. So they took a red pill and they went, whoa. And then someone offered them another blue pill and they went, okay.
Yeah.
And so now they kind of
they're like, I've had too much like horror in my life for the last 5 years. I'm ready for another blue pill.
2 + 2 = 5. Mm-hmm. It's fine. And I think that's kind of what we're running into. So we got to kind of be out there kind of going, no. Put down that Kool-Aid.
Wake up.
You put down the Kool-Aid before. We can put down more Kool-Aid. So I think what's going on, though, is because that's kind of what Stu Peters was talking about with the JFK release. He was like, a lot of people are kind of talking about this, you know? So anyways, I thought that was kind of cool. I mean, the JFK thing we had to talk about because it just kind of happened. And you notice how Alex Jones was like, No, nothing to see here but Egypt and the pyramids and
yeah,
the caves.
Yeah.
You know? And it was like, well, wait a minute, wait. Look, I don't want to talk about that yet. Look, can we talk about, wait, did that country from 1948 like kill JFK? Let's just ask that. And
it's a possibility.
It seems like that would be like one of the main topics for us to be talking about. Like every news show, there should be 60 minutes, like where the normies are getting their news. They should be talking about that.
Well, but 60 minutes is controlled by
them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. Well, and that's why you got to break free from the media. They're corralling us because that's what it comes down to. But I think that was kind of a cool little foyer. I think we might have to go down the JFK rabbit hole, maybe a little bit. We'll kind of touch on it.
I think with,
going forward,
like with a lot of our rabbit holes that we go down, we just sort of scratch the surface and we start going down these rabbit holes and we realize that they're a lot deeper than we had anticipated. So we have to, like, you know,
what I know,
reconvene and
we kind of go down one rabbit hole, but it's weird.
It like, turns into like a bunch of, well, you know, I think rabbit holes are really like that. Like there's tunnels that get shoot off into
that's
different.
That's a great analogy.
It is.
Once you start digging down a rabbit hole, you go, wait a minute.
You run into
that rabbit hole's coming into this rabbit
hole. You run into all these different other, you know, it always just like that brings the image of Peppa Pig to mind. Ah. I think I watched too many Peppa Pigs. There's a lot of rabbit holes and they all kind of go in different directions.
They're all kind of from that country from 1948.
Oh.
All of them. Like every rabbit hole we go down to, it kind of has like the same.
All roads lead to.
I know that, you know, Alex Jones would be like, no, it's the Chi-Coms. It's like, really?
It all leads to the Chi-Coms.
Who controls them? Have you ever seen?
Oh, good question.
Have you ever seen a picture of?
Good question.
What was his name? Ho Chi Minh? Not Ho Chi Minh. Who was the guy in China that did the Red Revolution?
Mao Zedong.
Wow. They showed Chairman Mao,
mm-hmm.
and he's like flanked on both sides by people from that country from 1948.
That's weird.
Back in like 1948.
That's weird.
That is weird.
That's coincidental.
So I think today we kind of brought up two other rabbit holes that we could probably go down. I think 9/11 and China.
Yeah.
I just think both of those are kind of...
I think those are good.
Yeah.
I think we might have to go down one of those next time.
I can't wait. I wish we could just do just talk all the time.
I know.
I hate when we have to stop.
I do too.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.